Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
If you're just joining us now, then perhaps you haven't heard what's going on in the Middle East. So what we're hearing about after a day of snags and delay with that ceasefire and hostage deal that we heard was on, then yesterday it was off again, and now Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu says this morning that a deal to return the hostages held in the Gaza Strip has indeed been reached after his office obviously said earlier there were some last-minute snags, a crisis, a concern in finalizing this ceasefire deal that would put the pause button on 15 months of war and obviously 466-plus days of these hostages held somewhere deep underground. So Prime Minister Netanyahu saying he would convene his security cabinet, and we'll hear about this perhaps within the hour or hours, and then the government is expected to approve this hostage deal. So pre-dawn statement for us appearing to clear the way for Israeli approval of the deal. And it's a fragile situation, obviously, but would pause the fighting that we've seen in the Gaza Strip. More recently, dozens of hostages held by militants in Gaza expect to be released in exchange for those Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. And the deal would allow hundreds of thousands of what the legacy media is reporting, hundreds of thousands of displaced Palestinians to return to the remains of their homes in Gaza. I point that out to you because even as I speak and I monitor all the so-called mainstream media, I just have to point out to you that they lead with, and even in most of their coverage, they really don't mention the fact that, you know, 98 hostages who've been held now all of this time, some of them we know clinging to life in horrible conditions, malnourished. Some Americans. That's never even, I mean, it might be mentioned at the very, 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 very trail end of the story.
But
maybe.
I'm glad the Palestinians are going home safely.
Right. But so that's, to me, the story is, so the story to me personally, and you can correct me, all right, Nick, Greg, to all of you, there are 98 individuals that we haven't accounted for hostages. A third of them, they've confirmed, are not alive. And so we're talking about 60 people, human beings, starving and in the darkness who haven't seen daylight reportedly, right, for all this time. They're going to release about half of them. That's the first release of and hostages.
It's what, three phases, Joe said? And we'll give you details on phase two and phase three as we have more information.
So to me, the lead story here is hostages coming home. That's not the lead this morning.
No, of course not. Why would it be? The mainstream media has been pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza throughout the last 15 months. Yep, Israel's evil. Let's not talk about the American hostages. Okay.
So they have to work out the details of there's going to be a special task force to then receive the hostages and no doubt have immediate medical care for them on site, because we've the folks who have been released, that's what we've seen, that they needed hospitalization, that they were malnourished, that they had other health problems. So we're watching this very carefully, but. And we talked a lot yesterday about Trump and saying there'll be hell to pay and who takes credit. But at this point, to me, this morning, I don't have the information when. When will these hostages be released?
Right.
That's one of the big questions. So just want to highlight that one for you. And then as we look to fires, so I'll take you out west, California wildfire update. So at one point, they said there were 43 people missing. And I know you may have heard the number there as far as 43 people that are missing out in California. L.A. County Sheriff's Department gave us that update that 18 people remain missing this morning after the deadly Southern California wildfires that we've been talking about. So they determined that when you heard the number in the 40s, that many of these people, thank God, were located and they're safe.
Okay.
Thank God for that one.
Right.
And then as far as the death toll, the number I have here, 27 people have been confirmed. They died. They perished in these fires in both Palisades and Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest as the winds, as you know, whipping up and the fires continue to burn this morning. So we have that going on.
Wow.
And then we also had a local fire I just want to take you to, and this is Bucks County. And so we're hearing about a huge warehouse-type fire, and this is in Bucks County with firefighters trying to get this thing out. And so that's another one. Flames tearing through this warehouse in Quakertown, Bucks County. Firefighters rushing to the 100 block of Pacific Drive overnight, and the fire raced to two alarms quite quickly, collapsing part of the rooftop there. I don't have reports of injuries. This type of fire, I'll tell you, it's very dangerous for the firefighters.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's who's, you're right?
Yes.
So they now have the thing under control and looking for hot spots, and obviously inspectors on scene trying to figure out what caused this thing. So we have that going on.
All right.
I know that we have health news and we have some consumer news to talk about. But as far as one consumer news story, I'll just take you to a popular product promising bigger size and joy, plus backwards compatible. We're getting our first glimpse of Nintendo's new Switch 2 console featuring a bigger display and bigger Joy controllers, because you always want bigger Joy controllers.
That's right. Big controllers.
And Nintendo is going to reveal more details during its next Nintendo Direct online event. Company says the Switch 2 is backwards compatible. What does that mean? It means you'll be able to play the old Switch games on the new model, which
I miss the
thing.
I miss the old glory days of Nintendo back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Mike Tyson.
Duck Hunt. Remember Duck Hunt with a gun?
Yes.
I used to love that game.
And remember during the pandemic, especially, and the lockdowns, those kinds of old games mm-hmm. were selling for a ton of money.
Yeah. Remember the old game? Remember when they went portable with the Game Boy?
Yes.
Oh, that little white thing with the little lavender buttons. Those things are probably worth a pretty penny on like sites like eBay and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. If you have any of that, Greg Stocker probably has it still in the box.
Yeah,
but if you have any.
I do have an original
you do?
Game Boy in the box. Yes.
Do you really?
Of course.
Do you have a pin? Let me guess. Do you have a pinball machine in your basement?
I don't.
I could see you being a pinball guy.
No pinball machine.
Okay.
By the way, Jesus wants to know if there'll be booze served on Monday at the Knack. I don't believe
so. A little Prosecco or something?
I don't believe so. But, you know, if you want to bring a flask, what am I? Who am I to say no, right?
Chris Forsyth.
they don't have a bar there. I mean, it's a health club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine the degenerates at 1210 come in with?
Are they going to serve calzones? No. It's a health club.
We're going to have so much fun.
I love it.
We're going to have celery sticks and carrots.
Yeah.
And all the festivities, even though the actual swearing in is around lunchtime, the truth is, I mean, we're going to see a huge Pennsylvania presence.
Yeah.
And I know we'll be talking about that Monday. But, you know, those Butler PA first responders, I know we mentioned this at some point during the week, but pretty cool that they'll kind of lead things off. So Eagles news this morning, and the forecast is a big one, too. But I will tell you, so some headlines this morning, the Rams, Jared Verse, saying how much he hates us, the Eagles fans, that we are so annoying. Yeah, well, you're going to be more annoyed when we beat your tush, mister.
Yeah. These LA players that have been, you know, flapping their gums about the city of Philadelphia. And a lot of these players probably have beautiful homes in and around the area of tragedy. I mean, why don't you just focus on things that really matter, like winning the game and then getting back to your neighborhood that probably was impacted by a tragedy, instead of taking pot shots at Eagle fans?
Yeah. Yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
What Nick Hale said.
Yeah, McVay, their head coach, with his little perfectly manicured beard.
So we know that AJ practiced yesterday, and he'll be good to go for today. By the way, Dallas Goedert missed yesterday's practice with an illness. So we have that going on. So,
by the way, speaking of Dallas, the Cowboys interviewed or requested permission and was granted to interview the Eagles offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore.
So, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can go. He's fine. Yeah. He
can't grow facial hair anyway. Guy looks like he's 12.
Wow. So we'll talk about that. We'll sprinkle some Eagles news, of course, because we're excited about the game. The city, I mean, when you drive into Philadelphia, you know, our skyscrapers topped with Eagles green. It's so exciting. An update on that foul-mouthed fan who's been banned from the Eagles home games.
Well, what a story is it? Are you surprised that this story has taken on the legs that it has? This thing has just been for almost a week now.
Well, you started out your big take talking about, I mean, social media and TikTok. And so when things go viral like this, it becomes personal for people. Everybody then becomes a commentator, their opinion, and they take a side.
I mean, let's be honest. Is this the first time that a dude, you know, shot his mouth off at an Eagles game?
Yeah, but I mean, he was in on creating the video, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is what you get.
Yep.
But he came out, and I know we'll talk about it moving forward, so I'll just headline at this point, but he came out and issued quite a lengthy apology.
Well, he should, right? So, yeah, Mr. DEI, Monday through Friday, equity and inclusion. You can't be calling females the C word when you're all about everybody getting to the finish line, right?
Well, that's just it. The ironic part, the guy should know better. The company that fired him, he has a DEI job.
Yeah. I want every DEI job. Like, I'm talking about the people that are in charge of, quote, the DEI department and these bloated salaries. Gut every last one of them. By the way, the state of Wisconsin, you should see the DEI report there. Send in Doge to Wisconsin immediately. I digress.
Doge. And I'll just tease this one. I'm doing a lot of teasing here. I'll tease this one. Speaking of DEI, Donald J. Trump, incoming president, he put out a statement about DEI and what the future administration is doing about wanting to investigate Biden's DEI.
Well, the FBI programs. Closed their DEI department yesterday.
And so we'll have the update. This is the tease upcoming as to what the incoming administration is doing right now to, let's say, preserve the evidence. I'll just say that much.
Cash Patel's coming.
Yes, sir. So we are sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squealing sound or a grinding noise? Ruh-roh. Don't wait. Take your car. Nick, you talked about this earlier. You want to take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. They're expert techs. They're going to diagnose any kind of problem. Find that location nearest you, Meineke.com. Forecast today and tomorrow, warmer. We're in the low to mid 40s today and tomorrow. Watching the snowfall and these ever-changing forecasts, we should get another model upcoming within the next hour. But will there be 1 to 3 inches during the Eagles 3 p.m. game? Or will it look more like, you know, will it look more like 5 inches or even 6 inches in these ever-changing models with the forecast? It's a real concern because will we have slipping and sliding, or do you want to just tailgate all day long? We'll have all the pertinent information for you. A frigid Arctic day on Monday, but for us, it'll be nice and warm inside the NAC, the Newtown Athletic Club.
That's right.
I'm Dawn Stensel, and this is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, coming up next, two things to hit on before we get to the cut sheet. ESPN reveals the real reason why they didn't show the national anthem after the New Orleans terror attack, and who will not be present Monday for Inauguration Day. Kale & Company on Talk Radio, 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The ever-growing list of people that will not be attending Trump's inauguration, as well as the luncheon on Monday, January 20th. But we talked about State Farm and the tragedy and the blowback they are dealing with. Let's get to the other big entity out there, and that is ESPN, ABC, and Disney, that created a major firestorm, no pun intended, when they decided not to air the national anthem, the moment of silence, the moment of prayer following the New Orleans New Year's morning tragedy with a terror attack that I believe killed 14 or 15 individuals when that guy decided to drive down that little alleyway and mow down 14 or 15 people. And I was of the belief that it was intentional because I felt even better about it yesterday after Stocker played the clip of Sage Steele, the former ESPN SportsCenter anchor who's now kind of come out of the closet as a conservative after leaving the network, She's been seen a lot on Fox or Outkick and platforms like that. And I thought it was intentional. And she had said never in her 16 years at ESPN did they ever show a moment of prayer. And now in the aftermath of the blowback that they are receiving in public on social media and being criticized, they're showing all of these things, national anthems, moments of prayer, because they know that they are being absolutely crushed, especially after the fact that they took a moment of silence for the LGBTQ community during March Madness last spring. So yesterday it was revealed, and again, my thoughts were that this was intentional, but even removing my thoughts, it had to be one of two things. Either this was 100% absolutely intentional, that it was, you want to call it a political decision not to show these things, a social thing, a religious thing, whatever, or it had to be completely incoherent, inept, incompetence from those individuals. But as Dawn will tell you, TV is totally scripted out to the nanosecond. I mean, if you've ever watched Fox News, and he's retired now, but, I mean, they don't let Neil Cavuto at 4:59:59 finish a syllable. They cut him right off to go to the 5 at 5 o'clock right on the dot. This thing is all measured out to the second. So I never believed that this could be a slip-up or a screw-up, because everything is scripted in advance, especially for big-time television productions. But apparently yesterday, the boss of ESPN, Burke Magnus, well, I'd love to have a beer with Burke Magnus. Sounds like a fun individual. He was on, this was the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. I want to credit this properly. Clip 10, Phil, as he gives the first public explanation and his admission and his apology. Let's listen and watch this.
I know there's a little bit of controversy regarding you guys not covering the anthem in New Orleans for the game. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Let me just say this. There's a group of people in Bristol who just made an enormous mistake. It was a human error. It happens. I don't want to minimize it by any stretch. But as you noted, like, nothing was normal about that next day, including our programming lineup, where we normally would have had College Game Day and that crew leading into the game. It wasn't that. It was SportsCenter, which is done out of Bristol instead of Insight. I could give you a whole host of reasons why it was not the normal circumstance. But at the end of the day, that was just a horrible error that was made by a group of really well-intentioned people who feel terrible about it. I lost my father over the holiday break, and he was an Army veteran, and there was nothing more important to him than his military service. My parents took my sisters and I to West Point every single week. We had season tickets to Army football growing up. The notion that was somehow intentional, or we were trying to avoid acknowledging what was a horrific situation in New Orleans, was really misplaced. It was just a mistake that we feel terrible about. And by the way, we should be held to account for, right? Like, we want to be as good as we can possibly be at all times. And even though it was not a normal situation, you know, our traffic got fouled up, our timing got fouled up. We happened to, you know, to be in commercial break when the anthem happened. It was just not good by any measuring stick, and not up to our standards. I think what you have seen since then in terms of the other CFP games, our NFL games in week 18 in the wild card, like, we're not avoiding the anthem, quite the opposite. It's a special moment for all sports fans at big events. And, you know, you'll see the same treatment in the college football championship game coming up on Monday.
All right, Phil, you can kill it right there. So let me ask you this, because, you know, during the social justice protests of 2020, ESPN and other networks aired players taking a knee on the sideline and not standing during the national anthem. And Dawn, I want to pick your brain on this, because you are a television pro, an Emmy Award winner. You think about and by the way, for those that aren't maybe paying attention to, you know, college football playoff games, this game was postponed for 24 hours. This game was not played as scheduled in light of the terror attacks in New Orleans. I believe it was scheduled for Wednesday and they played it Thursday, or it was scheduled for Thursday and then they played it Friday. So you have all these people, right?
Yeah.
Producers, technical directors, cameramen and women that have been doing this 15, 20, 30 years A lot of them are paid very well to be, you know, in those roles for big television networks. You don't think that the thought crossed their mind at some point in production meetings or as they go live, we should probably be socially and cognitively aware of what just happened? Because the broadcasters, the play-by-play guy has set the scene. He's talked about the tragedy. And even if you don't get it live because of commercial inventory, you're rolling, you can record it during the break and then play it back. I just can't believe that this was a slip mentally. How is that possible knowing there's probably way too many people involved in this process anyway? It's not a 4 or 5 man production. There's probably close to 100 people involved in this telecast.
Nick, forgive me. Who is the gentleman who just spoke out?
That was ESPN chief Burke Magnus.
So Burke is the biggity big.
Yeah.
Right? So I believe he sounded authentic to me. I don't know who he is, but he sounds like that sounds real to me.
Okay.
So Burke may feel that way. Now all of Burke's employees, they quickly learned how Burke grew up, that he believes that the national anthem should be heard, should be seen. And so whoever made the decision, that's why the next time around you saw it, because the biggity big, he laid that down. I think that I don't know why he didn't, as a manager, as a biggity big, why he didn't let people know that that's important, but they know now.
Yeah.
And so whatever happened there, whoever was in that control room, it was not a priority. So there's a disconnect between whoever felt empowered, and maybe there were divas on the air, maybe there were divas in the control room, maybe there were people who just felt like they don't want to show that or whatever. So I believe that he has now laid down the law as far as what's going to happen moving forward. It's on him, and that's why he should apologize, because he should have made sure that all of his employees know that this is a priority.
Yeah.
So now that they know how the boss feels, they're going to moving forward. We're not going to see that kind of thing again.
Yeah.
Especially after his statement.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, you know, maybe he believes them. I don't know that but this was not a mistake, because if they had known that this is a priority of his, they would have done exactly what you said.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. If something happens during a commercial break, you come right back. You come back cold.
How many times are you doing your show where something breaks and develops and you want somebody to start rolling on something so that you can get to it after an interview that you might have scheduled? And then the willingness to kind of, you know, change up your rundown of what you had planned in light of developments, right? You're always talking about what's breaking, what's developing. If something happens, now I don't know what type of cachet, but I'm assuming they have a lot of cachet. The two guys that are in the broadcast booth are seeing that anthem happen in real time as they're looking out of the broadcast booth down on the field. So the two announcers are Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. They both make $15-20 million a year. Don't you think, and you know, they talk to their producers and their tech directors during breaks through their headsets, hey, maybe instead of me coming back and going over that touchdown drive, why don't we, did anybody record the anthem? Maybe we just take 30 seconds and play even a condensed version of it, or the moment of silence, or the prayer. Maybe we don't have 2 minutes to do it all, but let's get something in here so we don't come off completely tone deaf in the light of tragedy.
Well, that's the next phase. So on air, If I'm on air during that moment, I'm not saying what about. I'm saying, hey, let's put that, come out cold open. Just bring it forth. Moment of prayer. Play it cold out of the break. And so if you are that on air person, you absolutely should be saying that. If the control room pushes back on you and you're somebody with a backbone, you come out and you say, just a moment ago, we had a beautiful moment of prayer, da 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 da. We will bring that to you momentarily.
Yeah.
So now you've put the pressure on your control room, who, for whatever reason, if you feel that there's a cultural clash here, you as the on-air person can absolutely, in a very classy way, put that pressure on them. So clearly to me, what we have here is a failure, you know, because this is their culture.
Yeah.
That's just it.
And that's the narrative they've created for themselves for close to 10 years now.
Yep.
Yep. 855-839-1210 if you want to join. Speaking of joining or not joining, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Michelle Obama, the list continues to grow. Boy, what a rough stretch for Nancy Pelosi. Also, I just saw this during your news on the television for the luncheon coming up. Neither of the Clintons will attend, neither of the Bushes will attend, and neither of the Obamas will attend on Monday. Is that sour grapes? Is that an awful look? You know, we talk about it. At least I can sit there and say Michelle Obama didn't attend Jimmy Carter's funeral. She's not attending Trump's inauguration. Mm. But the Bushes not attending. And look, you know, I get it.
But the Bushes are going to be at the inaugural.
Well, at the inaugural, yes. But so they will not be at the luncheon, though. And I'm just thinking about Nancy Pelosi's, the stretch that she has had here. I mean, like, think about this for a second. So she failed to nail Trump for January 6th. She subverted democracy by installing Kamala and kicking Joe to the curb after he got 14 million votes in a primary. Kamala Harris gets beat. Nancy gets a hip replacement. She loses control of the Senate. She failed to take the House back. She only made 73% year over year in the stock market, which is a down year for Nance. And now she's going to skip the inauguration. I mean, you talk about, and I think the big takeaway from this was the party 4 years ago. Remember when Joe Biden was saying, I'm going to unite America. You don't unite America when the most notable faces of your side of the aisle decide to skip the inauguration, right? Like that to me, you
like
look
Trump
like
did
a little,
in 2021.
And he should be ripped for that. I'm totally fine ripping him for that. Even if he thinks he got robbed, the election was stolen, the whole bit. Let's you know, I'm a big believer. I love traditions, right? Like, you know, I get caught up in nostalgia of the 80s and the 90s. You should absolutely attend this as a Republican or a Democrat. And we'll get to Joy Reid with her election denial coming up. Like, whether you think the refs gypped you or not, I've never been one of these guys where you don't want to shake hands afterwards. You don't want to be a moment of sportsmanship. That's what really what this is about. And I get it. Nancy Pelosi and Trump have butted heads for 8 years. But you have to be there for that if you are going to claim you're the party of unity. Mm-hmm. Right? And I get it. So a lot of people are like, who cares? And I really don't care one way or the other. But for those that want the country to unite and those that are talking and preaching about unification and uniting, terrible look for all of these people. I believe so.
I think so. First of all, I will say that I hope that the media points out that all of these former presidents who are attending the inaugural declined apparently to attend the luncheon, but they were invited, which is very nice. It's very gracious. So I don't really care. I'm not going to rip anybody for going, not going. I don't care. They're not going to be missed. So
I'm going to enjoy my day.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we're going to look, it behooves all of these individuals to understand that we don't care. We are thrilled that Trump is coming back and that he's going to make America great again. And whoever's there is going to be part of that. So are you part of the positive energy movement that's happening to make our country great again, healthy again, efficient again? Are you with us or are you not?
Were you saying that in 2021, Dawn?
No. I wasn't saying I was bummed out.
Okay.
I was sad.
But I'm just saying that, like,
you know what I mean? So I don't care.
The pearl clutching with this is a little rich, isn't it?
I'm not pearl clutching. I'm just saying.
It's just, it
sucks to be you.
If you don't agree with then don't go. Who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I don't care. You know, I don't care that they don't go.
I didn't care that Trump wasn't there in 21.
I didn't either.
I don't care that Michelle Obama and all of them are not there in 25. It's just, it's irrelevant to me who goes and who doesn't go. If somebody's going to throw a temper tantrum, whether it's in 21 or 25.
I just love how these family dynasties of politics are all taking their ball and going home crying like babies.
Of course they are. Yeah. Of course they are.
Yep.
Because that's how they've done it their entire life.
It's a good point. Yeah.
You know, the Bushes, it's a family of scumbags. Yeah. So
I think,
monopoly.
Yeah. I think it'd be
the
awesome.
Clintons. Ugh, who cares?
I think it'd be awesome, even though she's a Democrat. I think it would be awesome to invite Monica Lewinsky.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be nice? Let's invite her.
Why would you even cover that?
But Nancy Pelosi, especially, I mean, antiquated. I don't care. I feel like I'm glad that all the presidents will be there together for the inauguration. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as luncheon, I don't really care.
All right. 855-839-1210. First time this year we speak to our buddy Edward. Hello, Ed and Del Ran.
Hey, even when it will snow, you keep us on the go.
Ah,
there
we go.
Because you're doing such a great show.
Wow, well, I mean, yeah. Geez. You know, I mean... Yeah, we are.
Eddie, are
hey,
you coming?
I just want to
Eddie,
talk about...
These... Eddie. Are you yes. coming on Monday? Are you coming on Monday to the
well,
Newtown Athletic?
Well, I'll tell you what. I got to figure out where how far you guys are. There's always that possibility.
Awesome.
I definitely want to go.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. It depends. I plow snow if it snows, so it depends on how much snow we get, too.
Well, you can plow snow for the parking lot at the Knack.
Yeah. Why don't you plow the snow right in front of my truck? You can be like my envoy.
Hey, for you guys, I'd do it in
Beautiful.
A minute.
What do you,
and listen to this.
What do you got on
Here's
the hearings?
Here's the thing. I love these hearings because, let me tell you something, they're taking the wind, the hot air out of these Democrats. Yeah. It is so great to see that they're standing up to this nonsense. It is just, it doesn't surprise me in the least.
No, and I think Trump, we saw the revelations from Hegseth. Thanks for the call, Ed. Hope to see you on Monday. You know, Hegseth had said that Trump said, you know, you better be ready. You better be a fighter. It's going to get tough. I would be willing to bet for all of these people that Trump knows that are going to face a ton of scrutiny, the Christie Gnomes, you know, not so much like the Burghams and the Rubios, but the ones that have, you know, baggage out there in the media that's been reported on, that he probably told all of them, you better be prepared. And you better be ready to go because they are going to come after you with everything that they have. And this has been good. I love it. So we'll keep you updated on all of that as Christie Gnome comes up today at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. All right. On the other side, it is time for a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet that will include election denialism from Joy Reid.
Yep.
Oh, this is about to get really, really rich. Back after this.
You know, with the deep freeze right now, I'm so glad. I look like a genius in my house that I call my friends at Marvin E. Cans to come out, make sure the HVAC is all good to go. They did have to change the filters. They were pretty dirty. Did that service on my house. And, you know, making sure that keeping your home warm, efficient, safe. Obviously, it's a priority for all of us as we head back into the deep freeze, especially for Monday. But it's why I recently had Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning get my family's house, our house, ready for wintertime. If you live in an older suburban home, consider a ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. So in our house, our HVAC's about 8 years old, but we have our bathroom. It's like freezing in there right now. And so this kind of thing, we're looking at it. So I just want to put that on your radar. Mitsubishi Electric is just an awesome solution, especially for a home lacking that ductwork like the older homes in Chestnut Hill where I live. So it could provide up to $2,000 in tax savings. Just contact Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning right now, marvinecans.com. That's Marvin E, KANZE.com. By the way, a third generation owned and veteran founded company. They're great people. When that technician or technicians comes to your house, they are fully background checked and they are true technicians. They are not sales commission people. Do you know what I'm saying? In disguise. I just can't speak highly enough about them. MarvinEcans.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Israeli cabinet, they're meeting right now.
Yeah.
So these hostages, we could see hostages released as soon as tomorrow.
Very good.
Wow.
Can't come soon enough. Yes,
I mean,
indeed.
This is... If this isn't reminiscent of 1981, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's unbelievable the parallels with this.
Yep. All right, 7:51. Let's not keep you waiting any longer. It's time for What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes like Nick Cale does, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Maggie Pale for throwing it to me.
You're right, welcome, sir.
Let's go to Joy Reid, shall we?
Right off the top here.
Right off the top.
Oh.
Trigger everybody.
Yeah.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Please hit the like button and please hit the subscribe button if you're watching right now. Please. It's very important everybody hits the subscribe button. It's free. I see you watching there in the shadows.
Yeah.
Listening in the shadows.
Hit that, John.
Just hit the subscribe button and hit the bell, too, so it'll alert you when we go live. We go live occasionally over the weekends and stuff. I know we're live here in the morning. Dawn is live in the dawn.
You get notified.
Which, all right. Joy Reid was on, I think this was on her TikTok or her Read That.
Okay.
Is what it's called.
Yeah, it's probably some little side digital show because, you know, bloviating for an hour a night and making umpteen million dollars doesn't really satisfy your itch. You need more.
So I don't know if she's speaking to like her sister or something, but she's speaking to Jackie Reid. This is Joy-Ann Reid and Jackie Reid.
Where's Jackie?
I'm sure it's probably one of her. But she's a look. You know, we're talking about election denialism, right?
Yeah.
And how it's a threat to democracy if you question anything that has to do with free and fair elections. Well, Joy Reid suggests that Elon may have hacked the election machines.
Yes. Yes, that's why he joined forces with Trump to sabotage the election.
So I'm sure at some point this will be taken down as fake news and a threat to democracy, and I'm sure she'll be brought up on charges, right?
Yeah. I mean, no wonder why MSNBC's president resigned. She's feeling like a genius today. I don't have to address this with one of my high-profile talents.
Philip, roll it, my friend.
They're even talking about, like, stealing an election.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's making me rethink whether I do believe, like, election machines can be hacked. Because I've always been like, you can't hack the election machines. But they're, like, convincing me, I don't know, maybe you can. I don't know.
I mean, to me, in this world, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Yep, anything.
I'm still, I mean, there are all these conspiracy theories out there about Trump and whether or not they cheated. I know you say that they didn't, but I know you kind of have to say
that. Wait a minute, I didn't say they didn't. What I said is there is a rational explanation for why Kamala Harris could have lost those swing states and Trump won them. There's a way you can get to those numbers with people staying home or only voting for Trump and not the rest of the ballot. I'm saying there's a history of that.
Mm. Yep.
However.
Oh, no. Let me hear it, because you.
What I will say is there was absolute voter suppression that took place, and I consider that cheating. Right. If you think about the voter law in your state of Georgia, that law is anti-voter.
No, it's
when
not.
You have bomb threats only in Fulton County, we don't know how many people stayed home out of fear because of the bomb threat in Fulton County.
The love
when you
of
have
God.
Elon Musk waving around $1 million checks in order for people to
vote for
Trump.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many things that were done that were nefarious. To put aside just the actual voter suppression in these anti-voter laws,
Jim Crow,
that kept people from registering,
2.0!
That messed up people's voter registration when they showed up, and all of a sudden they're not on the rolls.
But that happens every year, right? That happens
every
all
election.
The time.
So yeah. When
by the way, Patty C on the YouTube chat says, "Stupid in stereo,
dumb in digital."
Funny, Patty.
So we have Joy Reid joining the ranks of Stacey Abrams, Hillary Clinton, and countless other Democrats that are election deniers. When you're a Republican and you deny an election, you are a threat to democracy, you're investigated, you are persecuted and prosecuted. By the way, we've established that it's actually more difficult to vote in the state of New York than it is the state of Georgia.
Yeah, you can't say that, Nick. Sorry.
That's been completely factually correct and documented. And, you know, when you look at this, Joy, you really think that Elon Musk rigged the system? And then she's going to talk about irregularities. Yet when you are a Trump supporter and you point out, how did Trump lose 18 out of 19 bellwethers? And you've seen that graphic probably before. And you say, boy, that's a statistical oddity. That looks like a statistical outlier. You say that, you're a nut job, and you're denying. But on a completely a nonpartisan front, I would just like to get to the point where, you know, we move past the easy excuse. Now, I'm not saying elections cannot be rigged. Look, if you can, and here's my stance on this across the board, forget Democrat, Republican, just the concept of you know, rigging an election. Do I think an election can be rigged? Absolutely. But you have to have concrete facts. You have to have evidence, okay? Not just what Bob posts on video for 19 seconds in fast-forward fashion, okay? So I do, because, look, I believe, look, we've killed the president. I believe we have killed a current president that was sitting in office years ago. I believe that we were certainly complicit to some extent in the attempted assassination of Trump. I believe the government was involved in 9/11. So if all of that is possibly true, can you fix an election? Yes, I think you can. But you can't preach about election denialism and then become a hypocrite. That is where Joy Reid goes wrong. Don't lecture us for 4 years on it and then say, well, Elon Musk, he's a smart guy. He could probably manipulate the machines. Stop.
Two things. Yeah. 2024, yeah, just to remind, had sky-high record historic turnout, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
158 million plus votes in the 2020 contest, highest turnout election since women were given the right to vote more than a century ago, which my brother John, I always talk about him going, oh, it's a bad time in America, 1920.
I agree. Awful year. The hell with 2020. 1920 was the real tragedy.
But I will say this really quick here, and that is what I learned from, think about the election integrity program that was the Trump, Michael Whatley, and our own Linda Kearns.
Yep.
And just remember, you know, Linda and her team, a great team, and I think they're going to hopefully be there on Monday, if maybe they'll be in D.C. But I will say this, that what they taught me was how important it is for everybody to be aware, mm-hmm. to be watching. And then all of those thousands of election integrity attorneys with the GOP constantly had to file things in court because there were things that were attempts at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, they had to go to court, and every time they went to court, they won. I mean, look at the stats of when they went to court, they generally speaking, they won. It was like 98% of the time.
Right.
So what that told me was there are attempts to do things, funny, whatever you want to call it, shenanigans,
yeah.
but they were all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, explains a lot from the past. And by the way, we should all want election integrity.
It's nauseating to me that like, this is why everybody hates politics, because these people are just like, they're so virtuous when it's somebody else, and then all of a sudden something doesn't go their way and they immediately get, it's just like
the grifting never ends.
God, be consistent, you stupid twit.
So Foxnews.com has an op-ed up about how Trump is already narrowing America's racial divide, and they use a lot of data points from different demographics from the election. This was actually, since 1964, the least racially polarized presidential election since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. So everything that Joy Reid just said there is hogwash.
It's wrong. It's the opposite.
It's wrong.
Disinformation, everybody.
Black people voting, Hispanic people voting, Asian people voting. And if there was a lack of a turnout in a certain demographic, and if you want to say, if Joy Reid's going to make the claim that there was suppression for minorities, maybe, just maybe, because we saw that black men voted for Trump in a sizable percentage like never before. Trump still struggled with black women only getting 7% of the vote. But there might have been black men and black women out there that just said, well, I can't pull the trigger on Trump, but I think Kamala Harris is a fraud, and I'm not going to vote for her just because she looks like me.
Speaking of Kamala Harris, she spoke yesterday. did you guys see this video?
My God.
It just never ends. You know, I'm going to miss her. I'm good. You know, honest to God, I'm going. I hope they remain in the spotlight from an audio and video standpoint for the benefit of this program.
So I'm just speculating here. I don't have any proof to back this up. But was this after like a party or a gathering or something like that? Because she seems a little intoxicated. She seems a little intoxicated to me.
Well, she's always slow on the draw.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not saying she's drunk, but maybe it's after, you know.
But there are
they
moments.
Had a little champagne or something.
There's moments. And Dawn, you illustrate this a lot, where you say, "Boy, she's got a real thick draw today, doesn't she?"
She talks about how that she's fully aware that she's the public face of the hard work, but she's benefited from so many others, is what she's trying to say here as she's standing next to her alleged wife beater, Dougie
Doritos.
Roll it.
Political fully aware that I am the public face of a lot of our work. And so I have the benefit of running into people all over our country who thank me. And I will tell you, I am fully aware that when they are thanking me, they are thanking our team for the extraordinary commitment
that you each have
to lifting up the American people, lifting up their condition, lifting up their hopes and dreams, and understanding through it all the nobility of public service.
The nobility. Kamala, yes, I hate to break it to you, hon. You're the face of defeat right now. You are Hillary 8 years later. Okay, that's what you are. Yeah, she might have been, having some.
I don't know.
Pinot Noir. I don't know.
It sounds like it to me.
Maybe a gummy or two. You never know.
Dawn.
She remember during the campaign, even and even before, just as the Veep. I think, I don't know what medication she's on, but I think there's a medication involved.
Yes.
It could be prescription.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Right.
Governor Ron DeSantis.
Uh-huh.
Mustard.
Has picked AG Ashley Moody to fill the Marco Rubio Senate seat.
So are you saying it's a Moody duty?
Duty, duty, duty.
Moody has a duty. Ashley Moody, you have a new duty.
God.
Let me upgrade, upgrade.
We're like 3-year-olds.
This is, and we don't need 48 producers for this, folks. This is just a man with. You can rip me for my grammar, but not my wit. Don't knock my wit.
All right, Mustard, let's roll it, buddy.
Now, in appointing a U.S. senator, I initially put out several different criteria. One, I want somebody that's going to work with President Trump to deliver on the mandate he earned from the American people. I want a senator that's going to be willing to lean in against the excessive spending and cut spending and stop the inflation. I want somebody that understands that the federal bureaucracy is run amok and it must be held to account. And we need 3 branches of government, not 4 branches of government. And we need somebody that understands the fight against illegal immigration, is willing to shut the border, and importantly, make sure any legal immigration to this country is putting Americans first. Can't be bringing foreigners in to displace our own people in key positions. So this is something that I thought about long and hard. We did a lot of research. We got a number of great candidates throughout the state of Florida, and many of them, I think, could have done a good job. But the final criteria I used was, because you can say all those things and say you stand for it, I wanted somebody with a demonstrated record of delivering results on those important issues. Talk is cheap. We need people that have demonstrated fidelity to these principles with their actions. So that is why today I'm proud to announce that I am selecting our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, to serve as our next U.S. Senator. Duty, duty, duty.
There you go. So if you're following the circle of life here, we've had Pam Bondi, who was Florida Attorney General at one point, now Trump's Attorney General for the DOJ. You've got Pam Bondi out. Ashley Moody goes from Florida Attorney General to filling Rubio's seat because Rubio, a part of the Trump administration. And I guess the question now becomes, does this open up the door at the state level? Does Matt Gaetz work his way back in, and would DeSantis put him in that role? That was the first question I thought of yesterday when this news came down. Probably not.
Nope. But
a lot of baggage. You know, he's not necessarily a DeSantis guy. He's a Trump guy, if we want to do the whole Trump-DeSantis thing again, which Greg Stocker loves.
Yesterday, one of the hearings, the confirmation hearings, was Scott Bessent, who was picked for Treasury Secretary, right?
Yes.
So he spoke yesterday before the Senate Finance Committee. The big back and forth, I think, with this guy happened with Uncle Bernie Sanders, where they were talking. He was trying to get him to discuss what Joe Biden said in his farewell address about the oligarchy that is forming in this country and how it's not beneficial. It's not helpful that, you know, 3 people have, you know, more wealth than the bottom, 50% or whatever it is. And he said that's not good for a democracy. Right. But Sen throws it back into his face, saying that, well, I mean, Joe Biden has, you know, George Soros and everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's roll some of this is cut six, Phil.
Be here. Mr. Besson, thanks very much for being in the office the other day. Mr. Besson, the United States today has more income and wealth inequality than has ever existed in the history of our country. You got three people on top, Mr. Musk, Mr. Bezos, and Mr. Zuckerberg, who are now worth almost $1 trillion. That is more than half of the bottom of our society, some 170 million people. Three people, more wealth than the bottom, 170 million. We have more concentration of ownership today than we have ever had. We have more concentration of ownership in the media, where a handful of billionaires like Musk, Bezos, Rupert Murdoch, increasingly own the media and the information that the American people receive. We have a corrupt campaign finance system in which a small number of billionaires in both political parties make huge contributions into the presidential and congressional campaigns. When you have a small number of multi-billionaires who have enormous economic, media, and political power, would you agree with President Biden, who last night stated, and I quote, "An oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights, and freedoms." End of quote. That's what President Biden said last night.
Land the plane.
I agree with him. Do you?
God.
Senator Sanders, I enjoyed our visit.
Talk a little bit closer into the mic.
Was there a question?
I enjoyed
there,
our visit, and I hope you got my follow-up materials that we on the discussions, my previous writings on the tariffs and China. And look, the three billionaires who you listed, they all made the money themselves. Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant.
I understand that. But what I'm asking you is, when you have a handful of people like Musk, who will soon be part of the Trump administration, and others, when you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, when they spend huge amounts of money in both political parties to elect candidates, what Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs. So
this is not a condemnation of any one individual.
But you called three of them out.
I just ask you, would so few people have so much wealth and power?
But
do you think that is an oligarchic form of society?
Senator, I think it depends on the ability to move up and down the
income. No, that's not really the answer. I mean, even if you had that mobility, no matter who those individuals might be. All right, but let me ask you another question.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Bern.
There's so much to react to in this. I've got so much. I saw this clip yesterday, and I couldn't wait for this one. I've been salivating for this one. So the hypocrisy is so thick with this because of not just the question, but the messenger, Bernie Sanders. It is so thick, you need Dawn Stensland's chainsaw to cut through this.
That's right, baby.
This is a man. By the way, nobody flees countries and heads to communist nations. Nobody flees countries.
Excuse me. I partied with the commies.
And nobody heads to socialist nations. They all want to come to capitalistic societies, notably the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders despises capitalism, hates the fact that people make lots of money. However, walks into public office with 14 pennies in his pocket. and now has a net worth, and you could look it up, in the millions. And this is a guy who, when he was just asked recently in another setting, was like, well, I make $179,000 a year, and I've done well with my book on the New York Times bestseller list. And I'm like, wait a minute. So then you say you hate capitalism, but you charge $95 for an autographed copy of your book. Another investigation that we need to launch is, who are these people that are actually seeking Bernie's autograph? Because there's no way I would ever want Bernie Sanders' autograph, and it's not worth $95. But let's talk, you want to talk about oligarchies and wealth? Let's look at the Bidens. How does Joe Biden have the money he has? Perhaps Romanian oligarchies? His son using the last name to enrich the Bidens up and down the list? How many different Bidens were doing bank wires and transfers of money that we talked about in those investigations? This guy, if you hate capitalism, okay, I think you're stupid. That's the American dream. But you can't be somebody that benefits from capitalism. And again, it's the hypocrisy. It's Joy Reid. You can't lecture us on election denialism and then start floating that out 4 years later when your side lost. I'm just about consistency. That's all.
Yeah.
And maybe I should know this question, the answer. Is that a Vermont accent, or is that just him?
That's just Bernie. That's the way he speaks.
I mean,
feel for him. Somebody brings up the fact that he's been in Congress forever.
Like, I know.
What has he done to
term limits, please?
And look, it's an interesting question about the power and wealth of human beings and corporations and stuff. Like, I'm fine having that discussion, but you can't sit there and call out people that are on one side and forget the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, to this side, remember when you talk about the boogeyman who may or may not own this company, we're fine with a billionaire who owns a Twitter because he's on our side. So Nick's right. Just be consistent with this stuff. That's all I'm saying.
And then how are you going to hate on Elon Musk, who is an immigrant, comes to this country? Now, and like, somebody can dunk on me right now. Did Elon Musk inherit money? Was he born super wealthy?
No.
I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure.
Nope.
This guy went from, you know, being a run-of-the-mill family, right? I don't know, his parents made XYZ, and now he's worth, you know, he's got more money than the bottom 80 million in America. So why are you hating on that?
Yeah. I didn't hear you ask this question. You asked about his accent. He's from New York. He's from Brooklyn.
Oh, is that I didn't know. Is that New York?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Ugh.
So six, place. I mean, there are 10, the top six billionaires who've supported Biden. And even look back, we talked about this last summer. We talked about all the money. But Reid Hoffman, Howard Schultz, which is Starbucks, Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, George Soros. I mean, there are a ton of actually more big money people supported in, if you look at the Democrats.
Yeah.
And some of these individuals, like Bezos,
and they also
kind of switched. They're switching teams a little bit.
They all supported Biden in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and then Biden went to war against them. So they're like, screw you,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's all this is.
And we're talking about the subject of money. I mean, my God, the sour grapes. Kamala Harris and the DNC outspent Trump 2-1.
Yeah,
and they have more billionaires on their side. I always got to hear about, Trump's only doing to help his billionaire buddies out. My mother-in-law loves to drop that line, and I just say to her, you do realize there are more, and this is how so people are so disconnected with party realignment. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are the party of the coastal Ivy League elitists with the billionaires. It's not the Republicans, but people that are so out of touch that still think it's 1997, you need to download the new version.
I'm going to give you a hot take that is nothing about what we're talking about, but it has to do with Bernie, and I'm sure the YouTube chat's going to light up after I say this.
Oh.
I believe that if the Democrats did not screw Bernie Sanders in 2016, that election would have turned out differently.
You think Bernie would have won over Trump?
I do.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well,
no idea.
I think those individuals are still angry. Because remember, we were at the convention right here in Philadelphia. Yeah. And, they were livid when that whole deal was struck and Bernie was banned and that whole thing went down. That was wrong.
Yep. I think it would be a completely different, this the political landscape we're in right now is all the fault of the Democrats for anointing Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have to say, Greg, Trump still would have won, but what Bernie's really burned about, to your point, is that Trump has changed so that the working people and those people that were attracted to Bernie are now Trump people.
So
I'm telling you, he would have won in 16.
No, he would.
If you remove the candidate but keep the policy, the progressive left wing, do you think, and now we lived it from 2021 through 2024, do you think that maybe they missed the boat on the, because timing in life is essential. Do you think that that would have been, do you think any progressive candidate would have won? Because Hillary was not progressive.
No. No, right. I think Bernie Sanders would have won.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But I think Bernie.
That's what I said. I know people are going to disagree with me. I don't care. I love it.
Yeah.
Please disagree with me. Joe Biden gave his farewell interview last night. Did you guys know that?
He did the address Wednesday night.
He did the address.
So he had a farewell letter.
Yep.
Then he had the farewell address.
Yep. And now he's doing his last interview.
And who was it with?
Stop the hammering!
Larry O'Donnell.
Oh, my God.
So dozens of people watched this.
Yeah,
I can almost guarantee you that nobody knew this interview took place. It happened at 10 o'clock last night. Nobody watched it. So I'm here to play clips for you, because that's what I do. Let's start with cut 17. Joe Biden says that he is concerned with how fragile democracy is. Roll it.
And as that emotion was filling the room, but was there a sense of
hammering,
the release of a burden getting up from that desk?
No, but there was a sense that of serious concern. You've known me a long time. I really am concerned about how fragile democracy is. That sounds corny, but I mean, I really am concerned, because you've heard me say it 100 times. I really think we're at an inflection point in history here, where, unrelated to any particular leader, things are going to change drastically.
Oh, yeah.
And it occurs every 5 or 6 generations. And it usually is generated by technology. Usually generated by, I mean, for example, if Gutenberg didn't invent the printing press, how that would Europe ever gotten united in any way to understand what each country is thinking?
The hell is he talking about?
It sounds stupid, but it really matters. And what I realize is that, look, I got involved, I didn't think about it this way, but I got involved in public life because of the abuse of power.
Right.
I mean, my dad would say, you know, the greatest
abuse of power.
I can't take anymore.
Sending around your crackhead son across the globe for checks. You know, it's amazing to me that somebody would even want to say, because I said this yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
He is so off the radar for most of us right now. I mean, we're so focused on so many other things. Like Joe Biden at this point. And that just goes to show you how quick, as a society, we forget you, or we just put you out of our memory and move on to the next thing, whether we're outraged about it or we're looking for, you know, a distraction and some entertainment. But, man, when you think about this with this guy, and now coming out again with the democracy thing, Americans rejected the message of threat to democracy. Trump, I just saw a CNN poll yesterday that almost 60% of respondents believe that Donald Trump will do a good job.
Yeah.
And that's a CNN poll.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Fox News poll, right? So threat to democracy, people aren't buying the 4 and 5 words of, you know, fear that people want to throw out.
I will say this, when he's not wrong about the history of things, and if I just listen to his words about how things are going to change, I'm like, yeah, and this is a good thing. And when he talks of what he's referring to in history is, you know, the age of enlightenment, revolution, and then how oftentimes that will coincide with times of great invention.
Yeah.
And that's true. Look at Elon Musk. Think back in the day, Ben Franklin, inventor, revolution. So he's not wrong about how these things go together. But as somebody, I've listened to his words, and then as somebody who's a conservative who believes in Trump and everything that's happening, I think it is a magical time. I think we are going to see this transformation, but I think it's a good thing.
I just love how he's so scared and so worried about, you know, big tech now, when big tech carried his water for 3 years.
100%. You're 100% right. You're 100%
such
right.
A fraud.
And big tech, by the way, the Zuckerbergs and all those guys, they only turned on him because he went after them. Mm-hmm. And it's just this whole, it's nauseating to me.
Yeah.
But make sure that everybody understands what you're meaning when you say he went after them, quote unquote. Now we hear Zuckerberg coming out and complaining about the fact, when you say going out, they were trying to silence them. They were trying to use them as a weapon against transparency, a weapon against communication, and a weapon to silence people and deny them free speech rights.
Mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, speaking of Bernie Sanders, Deb Kennedy, who's always a great tweeter, says the confusion about Bernie's accent is because he has so much saliva coming out of his mouth. It's hard to tell where the hell he's from.
Joe Biden said he knew that Putin was going to go invade 3 weeks before he amassed his troops.
Oh, so just like in California, we knew 3 weeks before the wildfires would start.
We'll get to that in 1 second. All right, roll Joe.
Watching. But we just have to get back in the game. Yeah. And that's all I've really done is take an economy that accommodated the foreign policy that allowed us to change the dynamic. For example, I mean, you know, I knew what Putin was doing when he was amassing forces. Everybody said he's not going to go into. I knew what he was going to do. So I.
When did you know he was going to go in?
I knew he was going to go in about 3 weeks before he amassed those extra troops along the border.
And when did you decide? When did you make the presidential decision about what your response, this country's response, would be? Because you had to be given a menu. There's a menu, always a menu.
But the menu. The
menu includes doing nothing a lot of times.
That's right. There is a menu, but I already knew what the menu was. You know, look, Henry Kissinger called me 10 days before he died. And he said, not since Napoleon.
Now, here we go.
Has Europe not looked over its shoulder at Russia with a sense of dread until now? I started. When Putin said to me he wanted to see the Findlayization of Europe, I said, I'll tell you what you're going to get.
All these war
you're
criminals.
Get,
all right, enough.
Yeah.
All these war criminals. Henry Kissinger. F him, too.
The only menu Joe was looking at in 2022 was the Friendly's ice cream menu, all right? Yeah, let's clear that up real quick. But, I mean, O'Donnell there for, what's his name? What's his nuts?
Lawrence
O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell. That's okay.
Stop the hammering.
Stop the hammering. I mean, he kind of.
Stop the hammering.
That's what Larry says when Dawn's putting something up on the weekend.
Oh, he likes my.
There's a moment there where it feels like he's kind of having a moment of dunking on Joe, where there's the option on the menu, so to speak, of doing nothing, and he's basically saying that Joe did nothing. I mean, if you know and you don't want to see Ukraine get demolished, and we know that the Democrats have been super, super pro-Ukraine. I mean, obviously, Republicans have as well, even though Republicans are, oh, why do you like Russia so much? Like Russia? If somebody dropped a nuke on Putin, said it'd be a great day. But this whole notion that Joe could have stopped this, but you have these warmongers, the military-industrial complex, but it works on both sides, right? We've talked about it countless times on this show. I despise Lindsey Graham. You think Lindsey Graham was saying that we, Joe? Let's crank this baby up. Let's make some money here.
Joe Biden said that he and Barack have had disagreements. He used to get mad at him when he was a kid.
Joe used to get mad at Barack. Well, got him by almost 30 years.
Roll cut 20.
You've heard Barack get mad at me when I was a kid all the time. He said, I know, all politics is personal.
Yeah.
Well, it's about understanding what motivates the other guy, other woman.
Money.
And what their interests are.
There you go.
What do you think the relationship, if you were to go through this right now, you've got, I would love to get them all in a conference room. Yeah, you know, we should do it. There should be a reality television show. Get the Bidens, grab Nance, get the Obamas,
yep.
Get Kamala. everybody that was involved in the cover-up of his cognitive decline and everybody that was involved in the coup to subvert democracy and install Kamala. Now that all the dust has settled and Trump has won and they were all defeated, and put them all together and just have them all on the record what they think about each other. I think they all hate each other. I truly believe that.
Well, it's funny you say that. This is Democrat Senator Chris Coons, who was on with Caitlin Collins the other night. He accidentally said the quiet part out loud. He says that Nancy Pelosi orchestrated a coup against Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You have to roll this. This is pretty unbelievable. Cut nine. This is cut nine, Phil. There you go.
But on Jill Biden and looking at this, she had a quote today to the Washington Post about Nancy Pelosi's role in Biden getting out of the race. And she said, quote, "We were friends for 50 years." Imagining she was using her teacher's voice. She said, quote, "It was disappointing." Mm-hmm. You know that Jill Biden is very careful with how she uses her words. What did you make of that moment?
Well, it's the first I'm hearing of it, but what I make of it is that she may well have wished that Speaker Pelosi had engaged directly with them rather than orchestrating a campaign to try and get President Biden to step down from the race. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it was the right thing for him to do for his candidacy, for the country, for the party. But I do think there were some hard feelings about how that happened. Yep. At the end of the day, what matters most is that today, tonight, in that speech and in our conversation, I'm reflecting on the remarkable things that President Biden got done. He ran on bipartisanship. He spoke at his inauguration about working across the aisle. There were lots of folks who thought he wouldn't be able to get much done in a badly divided Congress, inaugurated just 2 weeks after January 6th. And in the end, he signed into law bipartisan bills that did more for infrastructure, gun safety, investing in veterans, rebuilding manufacturing than any president in decades. It's a really strong record of accomplishment.
He's leaving office, despite that, with an approval rating that matches when it was at his lowest.
I actually have the story here right in front of me from Politico with the headline, Jill Biden shares disappointment with Pelosi. Quote, "We were friends for 50 years. And I just saw the headline. Apparently, the New York Times also reporting that Chuck Schumer had a big hand in Biden. So this confirms what we said. So you have the debate on June 27th. It's an epic disaster for Biden. They have 3 weeks. They basically sack him on July 21st,
mm-hmm.
right as we finish the bike ride down in Atlantic City. That news came out. I'll never forget. We're there at the 1210 tent.
Yep.
And I'm still sweating in my spandex, and people are coming up to Greg and I.
Please,
and like, hey,
please give us more description.
Yeah.
Sweating in his
that sunburn.
Yeah, okay.
Inner thighs are chafing. And they're like, yeah, Joe just dropped out. And we're like, oh, well, I got the big take for tomorrow. So, yes, we were all over this. We said it was the power players. It was Schumer. It was Pelosi. It was Obama. Remember the New York Times op-ed written by George Clooney? You know, obviously Axelrod, all of these people that speak on behalf of Obama. And, you know, now there's fractured relationships. You know, a lot of people hating each other.
Yep.
No doubt. Democrats will devour their own. Republicans will do the same as well.
I wanted to, I don't usually do eulogies, but I think this is worthy. Mr. Baseball, Bobby, dead at the age of 90 years old. We all remember. We all remember the great Harry Doyle from Major League, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Certainly the greatest baseball movie of all time.
I would say one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Yep.
Let's play a little bit of Harry Doyle from Major League. Phil, roll it.
10-7, bases loaded, two down, and Rick Vaughn has come on to try and nail it down against Felipe Aguilar, a dangerous right-handed batter. Here's the pitch.
So good.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
Vaughn's doing his shit. Missed.
Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close? Hello again, everybody. Harry Doyle here, welcoming all you friends of the feather to another season of Indians baseball.
A lot of new faces in Chief Wahoo's tribe this year.
Boys, drink.
As they take on the defending American League champs, the New York Yankees. And hopefully we'll have some of the names that go with those faces before their first at-bat. Anyway, listen to the roar of the crowd as the Indians take the field.
Forty-two people there.
Yes, sir. They love this club here in Cleveland. Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
Amazing times. He was great in so many things. Obviously, he made cameos in different entertainment venues. He showed up in WWF wrestling.
He was on Mr. Belvedere.
He
was on Mr. Belvedere in the 1980s. Not a great show. Terrible show, actually, but great for nostalgia. Anybody who grew up in the 80s remembers that show.
Jimmy Failla had a great tweet yesterday about Bobby Uecker. He says, the best of the absolute best, Bobby Uecker, has gone off to that big broadcast booth in the sky at the age of 90. So sad to lose him at an age when most people are just getting ready to start another term in Congress.
What was that?
Bruno.
The new laugh drop I have.
Nice. Can we play a little bit more? By the way, the name Mr. Baseball given to him by Johnny Carson.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know the origins of that.
Let's play a little tribute here to Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. This is courtesy, I believe, of the MLB Network. Roll it, Phil.
I have only met two people in my life.
Al Michaels.
Who great. I could say their mouths would open up. And all of a sudden, there would be uproarious laughter. One of the guys would be Don Rickles.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Bob Uecker.
My first manager ever in baseball, Bertie Tebbets. While playing in a game over at County Stadium, after my first game, told me that I should think about becoming a broadcaster.
He's a comedic genius. I've never met anybody who can spontaneously come up with some of the bizarre
Tim
things
McCarver.
That Bob Uecker comes up with.
200 lifetime batting average in the major leagues, which tied me with another sports great, averaging 200 or better for a 10-year period. Don Carter, one of our top bowlers.
To make people laugh is a good thing. I used to get questions from my kids about, why do you do that? Why do you talk about yourself the way you do? I said, because it's funny and it makes people laugh.
Bob Uecker's major league career began in 1956 when he signed with his hometown, Milwaukee Braves. 6 years later, he made his big league debut with the team, but he wasn't exactly their best player.
Could he hit? Well,
okay.
I'm just glad I didn't take his advice. You know, Spahn, Matthews, myself, we would start talking about hitting, and everybody would tell us, Bob, this conversation you out of. Leave it alone.
Uecker's playing career surely was.
There you go.
So good.
Yep. Bob Uecker, rest in peace at 90 years old.
All right. We will come back and chat with our buddy Sean Farish. The temperature, the flu has subsided, and we will find out what the 47th president of the United States has to say on the business day eve of Inauguration Day. Coming up on Monday, January 20th, Sean Farish next. But right now, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. How about the Honda Prologue? It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free, and it has three charging options to choose from, including the portable charging kit for when you're on the go, because all of us are always on the go, unless you're one of those schlubs who wants to work from home and hasn't responded to a work from home mandate ending, you get in your car and you drive to work. Charging kit on the go will come in handy. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $229. That's right, $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details, and shop online anytime, piazzahonda.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Mr. President, hello, sir.
Well, we're very happy. I could tell you this. First of all, there is no more flu. I am proud to announce that we have declared victory over that stupid virus. What a stupid virus. And my immune system really did a fantastic job. It took a long time. I have to say that. It took a long time. And we're still coughing up. I can't even believe, and I can't even begin to tell you the things that are coming out. Oh, no. But it's worse than the bad hombres, I can tell you that. But but we're doing well, and the fever is gone. We deported the fever, and we got rid of so much. You know, we're doing so well. We're at the pinnacle. We're the poster child of health. You know, they say RFK is Make America Healthy Again. We're the poster child of health, and we're doing very well. We're excited about Inauguration Day. Monday, January 20th, 12 noon. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Nobody has ever been inaugurated like this before. We're going to have such a fantastic party, festivities like you have never seen before. The village people, I call them the beautiful village people. And we have so many people, so many beautiful people that are coming. Carrie Underwood, so many great people are coming. We're very excited about it.
Wow.
You know what? We'll get to the Senate confirmation hearings and some of the individuals who performed well this week in just a moment. But since you started with Hollywood, let's stay there. Special ambassadors to Hollywood now include Sylvester Stallone, John Voight, and Mel Gibson. Your thoughts on those three?
Well, you look at this, right? You look at John Voight. You look at Sylvester Stallone. These are great people. But you look at Mel Gibson, right? Or as I call him, Benjamin Martin, right? He's the Patriot. And he did a fantastic job. You know, he fought with George Santos in the Revolutionary War. He did very well. Based off of a true story, General George. The General George that a lot of people talk about is Washington.
Yeah.
And he had beautiful hair, too. You look at his hair. He had beautiful hair, too. But nobody talks about General George Santos, the drag queen on the battlefield of Saratoga. And, you know, you look at it, but you look at Benjamin Martin, you look at Mel Gibson in his Paul Revere. And I knew Paul very well, by the way. And I called him. I said to him, Paul, the British are coming. You know that? He said, sir, what do you mean the British are coming? I said, one if by land, two if by sea, the British are coming. Get on your horse and ride and tell everybody about it. And Paul Revere rode, and he told everybody, he said, the British are coming. I have it from good people. And he warned everybody that they were coming, and they came, and we beat them, and we beat them big time. And nobody's ever been beaten as bad as the British, except maybe Kamala Harris or Rihanna with Chris Brown. Who knows?
Oh.
But, you know, it happened. She wrote a song about it. He beat me with an umbrella, right? Ella, Ella. It's horrible. But you see what happens. You look at it. Mel Gibson is going to, and I told him this. I said, Mel, he said, what, sir? I said, if you don't show up on day one to your new position as special ambassador to Hollywood in the Benjamin Martin garb, the regalia, the attire, you're fired. He said, sir, I haven't fit into those clothes in a very long time. I said, you better fit into them or you better get new ones. You have to show up in your uniform. That's your uniform. And if you show up out of uniform, we're going to have a lot of problems.
Oh, God. It's unbelievable.
Let's just wrap it up. It's not going to get any better than that. So let's get to Senate confirmation hearings. You know, look, you warned Pete Hegseth. You said, I picked you for this. You're a tough guy. They're going to come at you. They came at him. And I got to tell you, Mr. President, I thought Pete Hegseth came out aces.
Pete Hegseth was calm, cool, and collected, and he did a fantastic job. You know, you had Pocahontas, and she said, why won't you say that, you know, the generals, and they joined the military? He said, I'm not a general. And the entire room laughed at her. And from what I understand, you know, the comment, she thought she was going to get him. You know, she thought she was going to get him. She said, watch this. I'm going to get him. It looked a lot better for Pocahontas when she was rehearsing it with the smoke signals. She said, here's what we're going to do. And it didn't work out. I heard the next time that she takes on Pete Hegseth, she's going to be wearing war paint, right? She's going to be doing her tribal war dance like Finding Nemo at the summit of Mount Wanahakalugi, right? Ha hoo wah hee ha ho ho ho. You look at her. And she's doing a terrible job, right? She's doing a horrible job. You look at Tammy Duckworth. You look at Maisie Hirono, what a stupid person. Yeah. And we have the greatest person from Hawaii, right? We have Tulsi. I call her Hula Hula. I also got along very well with King Kamehameha the First of Hawaii. We did very well. Sugarcane, fantastic crop over there in Hawaii. We do very well with them. But you look at Maisie Hirono, stupid person. You look at a lot of people on that Senate committee, and they did a horrible job. They did terrible things. And then you look at And I don't like this guy too much because he has too many first names. Mark Wayne Mullen, right?
Yeah.
But he's a good guy. He did a fantastic job. And he called out the people. They're voting drunk. They're doing terrible things. And when you look at it, when you hear that they're voting drunk, it makes a lot of sense when you see the type of garbage that gets through the House. When you see Chuck Schumer elected majority leader, or Mitch McConnell, I call him Glitch McConnell, elected majority leader. They must be drunk to be doing things like that, right? Yeah, they must be drunk to be doing things like that. But these were, they call them fireworks. I think Pete Hegseth handled them very well. Calm, cool, and collected. He looked great. He sounded great. And he did a fantastic job. That's why we picked him, because he did a fantastic job.
As did Pam Bondi. I thought if you gave Pete an A, you'd have to give Pam an A as well. I thought she handled that incredibly well. Your thoughts on your attorney general from the state of Florida?
Well, Pam Bondi did a fantastic job, too. You know, she embarrassed, and it's an easy thing to do when you look at it. He does it every day by waking up. But she embarrassed Shifty Schiff, who has a – he's got the biggest head the world has ever seen, right? It's a watermelon head, and it's propped up by a teeny tiny pencil neck. You know that? We call it an engineering miracle. That head should not be able to sit on that neck. And it's probably all out of whack. You look at him, and you look at his eyes, right? The bug eyes, the crazy eyes. He's got big eyes, a big head, a tiny neck, and a tiny something else. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Very small. Very, very. Everybody knows it, right? Everybody knows it. That's why the Russians were able to prank him. They say, you know, we're going to take advantage of this guy.
Yeah.
But you look at it, she embarrassed him. She embarrassed a lot of people. She's a very smart person, right? We only pick smart people. We don't pick stupid people. She's a very smart person, and she did fantastic in front of the Senate. Nobody really has done a better job than Pam and Pete. They're great. And you look at our Pete, by the way. Our Pete is great. Their Pete is stupid. You look at their Pete. Buttigieg. This is a stupid guy. And it's incredible. The party of DEI, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden cares about qualifications. How was Pete Buttigieg qualified to be the transportation secretary? I don't care what he transports, you know, where he transports it. I don't care where they call him, right? They say the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, no. Oh, come on. No.
They lost to the Eagles. Pete Buttigieg was not qualified. Sam Brinton was the nuclear waste guy, right?
Yep.
The only qualifications that Sam Brinton had to be the nuclear waste guy is maybe he was exposed to a lot of nuclear waste when you look at him, right? He looks like Sid from Toy Story. What a bad guy. But you look at these people, none of these people were qualified. Darth Vader, or as I call him, Lloyd Austin, with that mask. You know, he's you have the Imperial March. He went missing for a long time. We know that he was getting cancer treatments, but you got to tell somebody. Yep. You got to tell somebody. He didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. He went missing. This is the most unqualified. Who could forget about her? Kamala Harris, the most unqualified presidential nominee in the history of the world. Very unqualified, horrible person, stupid person, very stupid person. You look at her, but you have the least qualified administration in the history of the world. Now they care about qualifications. Pete and Pam and all of our people are so qualified. Nobody's ever been more qualified. That much I can tell you.
Donald Trump is joining us. Somebody that will not be joining you includes multiple individuals on Monday. No Nancy Pelosi. No Michelle Obama. No AOC. Your thoughts, Mr. President, on a couple of females that seem to be not great sports, so to speak.
Well, let's talk about the females first. We'll talk about Nancy Pelosi and AOC, because the third person, there's a lot of debate. We'll tell you about that, right? Michael Motorcycle, a lot of people call her. I don't call her that. I call her Michelle, but some people call her Big Mike, right? They call her Big Mike. But you look at it, AOC, stupid person. Nancy Pelosi. Now, Nancy Pelosi is not a stupid person. Nancy Pelosi is a very smart person, but she's a mean person and a nasty person. But AOC is not allowed to show up because we said no stupid people at the inauguration. He does not have the IQ to get into the front gate. You know, it's like when Ron DeSanctimonious, we played golf, by the way, but when he wanted to be vice president, I said, you weren't tall enough. AOC wanted to come to the inauguration. I said, you're not smart enough. This is only for smart people. You look at Nancy Pelosi, right? This is Crazy Nancy, by the way, and she has a walker, and it's supposed to snow. There's going to be ice. Her walker is not four-wheel drive compatible, so she's not going to come. The cold weather is going to bother her newly replaced hip, right? Hip Hop Anonymous. She has this newly replaced hip, and she's not going to do well in the cold weather. I wonder what Bernie Sanders, you know, you look at Crazy Bernie, he had the mittens last time. I wonder if he's going to do the same thing. We'll see what happens. But Michelle Obama, and there's a lot of people who are thinking that Barack and Michelle are headed their separate ways. I don't know about it. I have no idea about it.
That's what we've heard.
But she's not going to show up. So we'll see what happens. A lot of people don't know if she's a she. We're not going to say that. But she's not going to show up. And we don't really want her there, to be honest with you. She's a horrible person. She said very nasty things about me. Yeah. And Barack said very nasty things about me, too. He talked about crowd size and the size of something else. Yeah. But when we were at Jimmy Carter's funeral, I looked at him and I said, you know, it's bigger than Mike's, right? And he started laughing, right? So, you know, he thought it was a funny joke. That much I could say. And this whole presidency has been a joke. And we know that Crooked Joe, we know that a lot of these people have been a joke. But Inauguration Day is going to be fantastic. And they're skipping the lunch, which is a shame, because it's the only time they're going to get free McDonald's. You know, I get the employee discount.
Yeah.
We're going to be having Big Macs and McNuggets for the inaugural lunch. The greatest lunch the world has ever seen. They don't want to be there. More McNuggets for me. I'm very happy about it.
Wow. Speaking of skipping out on lunch, Mr. President, last one for you. Stacey Abrams, she's never missed a lunch or a meal for that matter. She was nailed with a record fine as her group is forced to pay the largest campaign violation fine recorded in Georgia history. You know, she loves to preach from the soapbox, election denialism. She's denied twice. She's been denied in multiple elections and now committing the largest campaign violations. Your thoughts on the beast from the Southeast?
Well, she used to preach from the soapbox until she stood on the soapbox and broke the soapbox. You know, you look at it, it snapped and she went down like nobody's ever seen. And then there were tsunami warnings going up around the world because that's a big person, right? You look at her. We call her the beast of the Southeast, right? We call her the beast of the Southeast. And she's got those teeth. What a gap, right? It's a bigger gap than in between the subway car and the platform. They say, mind the gap. But they're talking about when she talks, you know? Michael Strahan is jealous. And by the way, and I like this guy a lot, but I haven't seen these two in the same room. Stacey Abrams and David Ortiz. They look very, very similar.
Oh,
right?
Big Poppy and Big Sloppy.
Right, Big Poppy. Yeah. I call Stacey Abrams Big Mommy, right? Yeah. You look at her. She is a big person, I can tell you that. And she's never skipped a lunch. She's probably never even skipped a midnight snack. And she's probably never skipped anything when you look at it. The only thing she's ever run for, the only time she's ever run is when she ran for office. Because you look at that one, she is, they say, like my friend Obi-Wan, right? I call him Ben. That's no moon. It's a space station. Some people call it something else, but we're not going to go there. We don't want to get in trouble. You know, a hole of color, maybe we'll talk about. But you look at it, she got in a lot of trouble. Yeah. And nothing these people do are legitimate. Nothing they do is legitimate. Campaign finance violation, $300,000 fine. Stupid Stacey Abrams. And these people in Georgia are so corrupt. You look at fat Fannie Willis. You look at Stacey Abrams. You look at Nathan Wade. And Fanny, by the way, the Nathan's hot dog eating champion. Nobody eats hot dogs like Fanny. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
With mustard, right? Oh, the sanctimonious. They mustard. Eat them like crazy. But you have these people in Georgia. They're cheaters. They're corrupt. Yeah. They're horrible people. And now they're being held accountable. I don't feel bad. And I hope that the next time she gets airlifted to another place, maybe another soapbox that's been reinforced by big, beautiful U.S. Steel, maybe she'll learn her lesson and do things the right way. You know, when I do things the right way, I get in trouble for it. When she does things the wrong way, she gets a fine. Maybe she should be indicted. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But the beast of the Southeast, sooner or later, will be irrelevant. That much I can tell you.
Sean Farish is Donald J. Trump, as always, on his A-game. Farish will stick around. It's a Farish Friday. I'm going to get his thoughts on Biden's farewell address, the future of TikTok, the ceasefire in the Middle East, and also Joy Reid, election denier. Get those glasses ready, Farish. We're back after this on Kale & Company.
You've heard me talk about my friends from Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You know by now, I love the work they've done in my home to make my home much more beautiful. Windows, doors, especially that row of that glass row of doors out off my foyer area. You know by now, if I needed especially new windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, I would only trust the Chapman family team. So until the end of this month, until the end of January, you got to hear this. You can receive 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new door from Chapman. And what that means is it's like an instant makeover. If you think about your new front entry door, it just changes the entire look and feel of your home when you drive up or when guests drive up. Maybe you have an upcoming wedding, graduation taking place this year. I'd take advantage of this fantastic promotion before it's too late. And who wouldn't want that gorgeous new door in your photos? Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they carry a range of these top brands to choose from, including Provia. They're going to work with you to pick the perfect front door for you. You can visit their showroom in Westchester, or they can come to your house, whichever you choose. Whether you or somebody you know, you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, give them a call. You can text them right now. They're local. They're like-minded. They're listening. 610-431-8898. Or you can take a virtual tour online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dolan sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.